This sound was recorded on August the 20th, 1962. Sitter Rose Street, medium Leslie Flint.
Child.
Yes?
You wish, I believe, to ask a question.
Oh, well, just one question I should like to ask you very much. We've got two or three books on Pompeii and so on, and the name Lucilius is mentioned two or three times, and we're trying to find the Pope, the name of your name when you were Pope. Do you think you would like to tell us?
There are some things that we leave unsaid.
Yes.
And there are some things that we prefer that you should make some endeavor to discover for yourself.
I see. All right.
But in regard to this, if you do not discover within the next week or so, I will tell you.
Thank you.
I have reasons, as you will no doubt find out in due course, why I speak freely on some things and perhaps less freely on others. In regard to certain things, I have my reasons, and they are very good ones, for saying little at this stage.
Yes.
And indeed, I would go as far as to say there are certain things that I have no desire that you should know immediately until such time as you have got to know me better.
Yes.
And have been able to weigh that which I've said and find that it is not wanting. I do not want you, as I've said before, to have any preconceived ideas or medium to have preconceived ideas. That is why I'm anxious to avoid answering certain questions at this particular stage, that which I may give to you voluntarily, that which I may proclaim to you, which I know will be of interest and help, and which will lead you to greater truth and greater realization. These things I shall do, but there are some things that I shall not do. There are some things that I shall not say, and there are certain things that you no doubt will discover eventually for yourself. But by that time you will know me better, and better able to understand perhaps even the reasons why I have avoided or appear to avoid certain things or issues.
Well, I'm glad you've told me this, Lucilius.
I told you, child.
Yes.
That there would be, among many things that I said to you, certain things that would be difficult to accept or difficult even to understand. But with time and patience and reasoning, you begin to see the truth shining through some of the obscurities that I may give to you. I am anxious to picturize certain aspects of past life so that you shall have a better understanding of your present and the purpose of your present existence and the existence of other souls near and dear to you, and also the reasons why certain things have happened in the past and why perhaps they've repeated themselves again in other incarnations, and why perhaps today you are, as it were, clearing the house, for that is, as I see it, the clearing of the house, not only with you, but the clearing of the house with others. I do not refer to a material house.
Yes.
I refer, in a sense, to the spiritual house.
Yes.
You see, as we go through life, we are inclined to clutter ourselves up with all sorts of things. Much bric-a-brac, much that is of no importance, and yet may have some sentimental reason, and that is why we cling to it. Lives are like this, incarnations are like this. We, in a lifetime, accumulate all kinds of experiences, some which are good, and some which are not good, and some which obviously are very bad. It is as if we were accumulating in each life a house full of all kinds of things, things that we love for various reasons, the things that we are not so interested in, but we still cling to them because they are part of our past. We have to learn how to empty our house, how to discard things, how to be brave enough to stand and say, this is useless to me. It was important to me once at that particular time, it was vital to my well-being and my happiness, but really, why do I keep it? Why do I cling to this? And so it is with this realization that comes of incarnations, that we have to discard much of the old and retain only that which is important in ourselves for the unfolding and the developing of our true self. In other words, we are in a sense like houses that become cluttered with all kinds of things which in themselves have no importance and which we know within our hearts we must eventually leave behind, but we cling often nevertheless and feel that we cannot part with things. And human beings are like this. In their incarnations they develop on certain lines. They become, as it were, to some extent, individuals. The individual likes and dislikes with weaknesses and strengths. And so it is that we have to find our true selves out of all this bric-a-brac within our consciousness. We have to become, as it were, strong enough to be able to wear ourselves up, as it were, in the balance and find ourselves wanting. And when we find ourselves wanting, then we begin to discard all the things that are holding us back, that are pulling us down, and we then become free, as it were, to go forward and able to assimilate new knowledge and new experience. That is why we must return so often to Earth, to learn how to live, to learn how to become. And having become, then we begin to become stronger and able to see more clearly. And our feet will carry us on that true road of power and powerful progression. Thus it is that we ourselves must find eventually the true path by unburdening ourselves, by opening ourselves to truth, and having the strength to throw away all the things that once seemed truth and were no longer truth, because we discovered that they were false paths that we trod. They were false links that we had that were weak in the chain of life. It is so important to realize the importance of our incarnations. And another point is that when we throw away these weaker selves or these weaker aspects of self, when we throw out, as it were, some of the brickbrack, then our minds are clear of it and we've forgotten it. And that is why sometimes when we return and we try to recapture certain memories for you, that we remember certain things that perhaps were important and essential, which were absolutely essential to our unfoldment and our development, and they remain with us as memories. But much that is immaterial, much that is unimportant, we have discarded long ago, and it is difficult to recapture it. Indeed, it would not be wise to so do. With you, my child, you have gone through so many different incarnations, and you have been so linked with so many other souls in these incarnations, and these souls from this side and those that are left on yours are all linked and have been brought together for this purpose, that you might in this last incarnation be able to discard completely from yourself all that is irrelevant and all that is unimportant, that you might, as it were, clear your house for the last time, knowing that you dispose of all the material things that are no longer of value to you. You have lost, as it were, the desire for certain things that once even seemed important. In other words, you have grasped the true meaning of life, that it is purely and solely a spiritual thing, that the material experiences under which the spirit is tried are essential, and you have come through all these experiences that have been essential to you with courage, and you have come through them with a full realization of their importance and what they have meant to you, how they have enabled you to unfold and develop your true self. You have looked upon all these things in the true light, and you've learned to value them for what they were, and now you can discard them, and you can say to yourself, at last I am free, so that when you leave behind the body, and you clear, as it were, the house of memory, when you have cleared of yourself all these things which no longer are vital and important, then when you are free, you shall come here and be with those who have been here many for centuries of your earth time, and be one with them, knowing that you have accomplished, and that you have overcome, and that you have cleared indeed the house, and now that you can, as it were, take upon yourself this fuller life, without any feeling that you have to return again in a physical body. In other words, child, this last incarnation of yours is the final clearing and the straightening out and the overcoming and the realization that you must have of that which is to come shall give you, I'm sure, great happiness and great joy. When I talk to you about incarnations, when I talk to you about some of the experiences as I remember them, and as I'm able to pick, as it were, from the manifestation which is around you, the auric conditions, which tell me so much of your past, because you're still on the earth, and therefore, in consequence, these auric emanations, which are in a sense nearer the earth than they are of the spirit, they can be, by me and others, as it were, read or recaptured. In moments we can recapture certain things and experiences that once were yours, and we can relate them to you for what they are worth. I do not suggest that by telling you some of these things that they will necessarily help you. Other things that I may tell you will be of infinite help and interest. But what is important out of all this that I may say, or any other that may come to you, is that you should have the realization that all these experiences, all these lives in which you have been so linked with so many souls, have been vitally important, not only to yourself and to your own spiritual unfoldment and development, but also to those who have been near and dear to you and who still may well be, and the influence that you have had to bear on their lives in some manner in which perhaps at some time you have been able to affect them to find perhaps a little more wisdom, and perhaps to have given them a little more insight, and often indeed a little more courage of a mental and a spiritual nature. All these things of which I speak, not in a sense only refer to you, they refer in many instances to many souls, some indeed whom you may not know, and whose names may never be known to you. For we cannot say how many innumerable souls there must be whose lives we may but merely touch upon for a brief second in time when on earth, and yet that slight touch may have had a great influence in some measure for that person's good, and or indeed sometimes perhaps to their detriment. But you see, those who are open to receive can receive and shall receive, and those whose minds are closed cannot receive, and they must therefore find for themselves their own true level in any incarnation in which they happen to find themselves. To reach the stage in which you now find yourself, you have had to go through innumerable incarnations, not only those few that have been given to you, but many others. And many other souls of whom we have spoken have been linked with you, and of course there are many others whose names you do not know. But all this that I hope to reveal to you, I reveal to you so that in a sense it will help you more and more to clear for yourself the bric-a-brac, as it were, from your mind and from your life, so that when you step out of the body, you will be completely freed of earth and all its ties and all its links. In a sense, the only links that may remain will be mental and spiritual ones, and these are the links, of course, of which we are most concerned. And naturally, because they are spiritual and on a high plane, you will continue them, and therefore you will return, no doubt, to communicate, but never to return in the body. But the body is important, is the realization that you will have and must have of all that has been brought into being and all that has come to pass, has all been essential and necessary. All the hardships and all the disappointments, all the disillusionments, all these have been necessary in this or that incarnation for your betterment. This last incarnation of yours has been, I know, often a bitter one and an unhappy one, and there have been great disappointments and disillusionments, but they have all been, in a sense, material, although there has been a spiritual basis, it's true, but nevertheless, from these things you have learned a great deal, more than you know, and you have, to some extent, cleared away all the things which needed clearing from your consciousness and from your experience of these things that have happened. You've been able, in consequence, to overcome. That is the reason of this present existence of yours, to overcome certain parts of your nature, certain parts of yourself, which were so essential that they should be given the opportunity to experience in such a way that you would be able to throw from yourself the worser, and in consequence gain that which has been so essential for your progression and your development. You have, I know, suffered, but suffering often is essential and necessary. And with the disappointments you had, they are essential too. I know from what I have been told, and what I know, and what I see with you, that you feel, in a sense, if one looks at it purely on a material basis, although I realize there's also here a spiritual significance, you feel that you have, in a sense, perhaps been cheated. But this is not so. For what appears so, as one sees it on the material plane, is not so in a spiritual sense. For what you have lacked, you will gain here. You have been told by certain souls about the things that are prepared for you, particularly about your love for music, and how you are achieving here already, during your so-called sleep state, some perfection or some aspect of perfection in that work, that music which you love. And you have been guided in this by a certain soul who has been much to you in many incarnations, one who has been brother to you, one who has been lover to you, and one who has even been child to you. But you see, it is difficult often for us to explain fully and make you comprehend certain things. That is why I say to you, there will be things I say to you will not understand, and will be difficult to accept. But nevertheless, they must be said. Where I feel it is essential to say them, I should say them, irrespective of the fact whether you can accept them or not, they must be said. You have been, in many incarnations, given opportunities, such as are given to few, and in some instances, instead of making good use of them, you wasted them. But that does not, in a sense, matter now, but at the time it did matter. And you have learned by past experience that these things had to be. You may say the thing has had to be, then where does free will come in? It is true that lives, to some extent, form or go into what one might term a pattern, but it alters not the fact that you have free will. You may not always be able to go quite the way you would wish, but there are often other routes that you may take that will bring you to the same point. And often it is the torturous path or the difficult path that often brings the greatest success. It is almost not the straight route. Often you see in life, you and others and many souls have wanted to go straight on the route that they feel they should go. And you have felt at the time, no doubt, it was the right path. But it was not necessarily the right path for you. It might have been the right path for another soul, but not for you. You had to often go round, as it were, getting nowhere in consequence, so you thought, in a material sense. But by so doing, often you were spiritually blessed. It is difficult, most difficult, for me or any other soul, to make one, such as yourself, even though your mind is well open to truth, to make you understand fully these things. But I say to you, whatever may have transpired in this present incarnation, or whatever may have transpired in any past incarnation, it was your path. It was the way in which you chose to go. Not always, perhaps, from your own choosing, you may say, and yet you had opportunities often to go in a different route, but often you had to go that route that was against your inner self, but it was the right route for you at that particular time. And the influences that were brought to bear upon you in this or that incarnation, influences of parents, influences of friends, influences indeed of education or lack of education, as the case may have been, all these things were essential and necessary. In each incarnation there was truth to be found within oneself, and one had to find it often in the most difficult way, a way in which one perhaps there had no desire to go, but it was essential that you went that way. There were times when you were very poor, when you were indeed, as it were, starving, when you had few friends, when you were desolate, when you were alone, when you felt that there was no God, no purpose, no meaning in life, when all you desired was to die. But this was an incarnation in which possibly you learned more than any of the other incarnations, where things seemed to go more successfully. But then again you began to have true values. You began to see that it was not in the material that one finds true wisdom and true happiness, but in the spiritual. When one learns to realize that truth cannot be found on the easy path, but always on the hard and the difficult, then we begin to make some progress. All those who have gone before, who have taught these things, have gradually learned that to do the things that we are endeavoring to do, to teach truth, to live to truth, must suffer. Suffering is the only way in which one may hope to cleanse oneself and discard from oneself all that is base and all that is of the earth. We must learn to think always in a spiritual sense, to realize that we are living a life which we are called in service. And when we have been called in service, then we begin to perceive the path that we must tread in that service, and in consequence we begin to forget much that seemed important of ourselves, and then we begin to discard and throw away many of the things of the earth that seemed like them seemed important, but they were no longer important. They were things of the past, and they served their purpose. And as we have entered the house of the flesh, so we have filled the house of the spirit. And you have filled your house with the Spirit. It is full of beauty, full of light, and great treasures are there that can never be taken from you, because they are spiritual treasures. Those who amass the things of the earth lose them. Those who amass the things of the earth, though they not be of earthly kind, but only in a sense a resemblance of such, even those things are taken from them. Even those who consider things which on the face of it are not of the earth, but are perhaps of the intellect, or perhaps I would even say of the spirit. Remember, there are false things of the spirit too. We must not praise ourselves too highly. We must remember that if we are lowly and humble, then shall we be in a position to perceive and know truth, and recognize it and accept it, and it shall in consequence help to make us free. It will unburden us and make us feel light and make us feel joyous. But much that man calls wisdom is heavily laden upon him. Indeed, there are many who call themselves spiritual, but they are in consequence far from spiritual, for their so-called spirituality lays upon themselves great burdens and great responsibilities, which in a sense they are not fit to carry because their knowledge and experience is lacking. And indeed, many who are so-called spiritually wise are often divested of wisdom altogether, and their conception of spiritual truth is based on material misunderstandings and complexities. One could repeat much in regard to so many souls. I know, because I've already told you, that I will discuss with you things concerning yourself that you are naturally and humanly most concerned with these things. But if you can realize that to see your picture, to see your true picture of yourself or your true reflection, you must also see in others too, yourself. For we learn how to become through watching others, through experiencing with others. That is why I've said to you, we are all so much part of each other. We are all part of a great plan. We are all part of a great pattern. We are all in some measure part of something which has been created by each one of us. And we are linked and tied together by bonds of love which nothing can break. And though some, as it were, seem to be weak, there are those who are strong to help along the lesser ones. We have great things that we have yet to do. And I say to you, child, that you shall be given time to fulfill those things that are near and dear, not only to your own heart, but to the heart of the spirit. You shall be given time to clear your house and discard the things that are unimportant, and so that you shall come here uncluttered and unfettered, free to take up your new life among the possessions of the spirit that nothing can take away. Our desire is to assist you, to help you, to uplift you and inspire you. And to do all these things, we need patience. And we want you, above all, to be most tolerant, because there may be times when you will feel a little intolerant, even perhaps of me, though it may seem strange a thing to say to you. But I say to you, there will be things that will be difficult to understand. There will perhaps even be happenings that will cause some concern, but they will pass as all things pass. Realize that we who come understand everything that transpires. We understand everything that is in your heart. We understand you because we are part of you. We are one with you. We have been so closely linked for so many centuries and centuries and centuries of time through many incarnations. But it is your spirit to which I talk. It is your spirit to which I cling. And that which is left of the body, that which is yet to be discarded, that though it may have its trials and it may have its difficulties, you shall be given the strength to continue until such time as you have finished upon earth that which is yet to be done. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with those around and about you. Be patient with us who come to help you, because we shall require your patience too. There may be times when it will be difficult for us to say clearly, distinctly what we wish to say, or give to you as clearly as we would like the wisdom that we know is so necessary and which you yourself so desire. Be patient in all things. Bear with all in love and in harmony, and let truth hold sway as it will. Be of good heart, child.
Thank you, sisters. I will try my best.
The knots of your life are all untied. But because the knots are untied, child, it does not mean to say that all is yet well. Do not be discouraged when I say this. There are one or two, as it were, loose ends that must be tied together to strengthen the whole. And it is these loose ends that I'm endeavouring to straighten for you and strengthen. When that is finished, then shall you come here for that peace which you so richly deserve. In the meantime, have no fears. All is well. Patience will bring its reward. You are surrounded by love. You are surrounded by power of the spirit. And many come with healing power, that your body may be to some extent renewed and strengthened for the time that is left to you. As I said before, have no fear, for all is well. You are surrounded by love on the earth and from the spirit. You have great links which have been forged over centuries of time. Links and ties of love that nothing can break. All is well with you. You are indeed blessed, child. Next time I will continue discussing the incarnations.
Yes. Thank you, Miss Ellis, very much.
My peace be with you, child. And you, my son, be not discouraged, be not dismayed. Know that all those who are called to serve must at times have infinite patience. They must give out love to all, whoever that soul may be. realize that it is important and essential sometimes for those who sacrifice much to be sacrificed. But all is well, my son, for we shall guard and protect you. There is naught to fear, for that which you have achieved and that which you shall achieve, these things shall bring great blessings, blessings to yourself also. You have no need to fear. All is well for you. Peace be with you both. Compassion.